We're getting near the end of our series looking at incidents from the Gospels describing people meeting with Jesus. We've been exploring why these meetings have been good for the people involved and what that means for us today if we happen to be in a similar position to those people. Today we're looking at an encounter between Jesus and a woman who was at a very low ebb. When this took place, Jesus was actually on his way to the house of Jairus, a synagogue ruler, whose daughter was very ill, and he had asked Jesus to go along with him. You can find this reading on page 1007 in the Pew Bibles. Page 1007, it's from Mark's Gospel, chapter 5, beginning in the middle of verse 24. Let us listen for the word of God. A large crowd followed and pressed around Jesus. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," his disciples answered, "and yet you can ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." Amen. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Lord, open our minds and hearts to hear what you're saying to us through your word. Give us understanding. Inspire us to live out the things you say to us. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. It's quite hard for us to imagine just how desperate that woman felt. For 12 years, she'd not been well. She'd been losing blood. She must have been generally weakened by that. And medical help in those days wasn't all that brilliant. She'd tried doctors, but their treatments had only made things worse. There were quite a few suggestions in the Jewish Talmud, some of which amounted to superstitions. Things like carrying around the ashes of an ostrich egg wrapped in a linen cloth. But she probably tried all of them too. What makes it particularly difficult for us to understand her position is that this woman was regarded as unclean in Jewish law. She was unclean. The book of Leviticus tells us this. Anybody who touched her would be regarded as unclean. The bed she lay on, any chair she sat on, would be unclean. So what had that illness done to her family life, to her social life? She might as well have been a leper. She was probably alone. And she'd lost 12 years of her life. years when she should have been in her prime. She wasn't an old woman. Perhaps she was still in her 30s. She would look older than she was. This story sandwiched between the two parts of the story of Jairus' daughter. And Luke tells us that she was 12 years old. So this woman had been ill for the whole of that child's life. But she'd heard about Jesus. She'd heard what he was doing. She'd decided that there was hope for her. It would be too embarrassing to meet up with him and tell him everything about it. But if she could just touch his clothing, she believed she could be healed. It was a daunting thought, going out in public, brushing against other people, running the risk of being recognized and denounced as being unclean. But she was desperate. So she summoned up all her courage, found Jesus, and got near enough to him just to touch his cloak. And straight away, she knew she was better. She felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. I don't know if you've ever had some sort of infection which is painful and raises your temperature and makes you feel absolutely rotten. And the doctor gives you antibiotics for it. And you've got a chance to take a couple of those pills before you go to bed. And when you wake up the next morning, you know that those pills have miraculously found their way to the right place and that infection's on its way out. You can feel it. You can feel the difference. And that woman felt the difference. She knew that she was healed. But just as modern-day medicines come at a price, her healing came at a price, because Jesus could feel the flow of power going out from his body. I always think that this is a fascinating insight into the humanity of Jesus. We know that Jesus had all of God's power, but sometimes we forget that that was flowing through a human body. And human bodies feel the strain. And it throws light on Jesus' need to be in constant touch with his Father, to go away quietly, to recharge his batteries. "Who touched my clothes?" he asked. Now his disciples, and probably everybody else around, thought that this was a daft question with all this crowd of people, except for the woman who knew exactly why Jesus was asking that question. I don't think Jesus was asking it in any way to make a point about himself. I think it was all for the sake of the woman, although she wasn't to know that. Poor soul. She felt she just couldn't head off home. She had to come and admit to Jesus what had happened. And it was embarrassing, and women didn't speak in public in that society. And there was still the risk of somebody recognizing her and denouncing her. So she was trembling with fear, it says. Why did Jesus put her through this? Could he not just have let her go home? She had the healing that she was looking for. Had her creeping up behind Jesus and touching him not been enough expression of her faith? Did she have to admit it, actually say it out loud? We have to ask ourselves, what did Jesus have in mind for her? Did he think that there were better things in store? It would be worth this extra trial. Sometimes we just can't see why we're being put through some bad experience. We can't see what's ahead. We don't understand. I remember when I was working at Barts Hospital in London in the finance department, and I applied for the job of assistant finance officer, and I'd just passed the hospital administrator's exams and all the finance papers and things. But I didn't get the job because I didn't have an accountancy qualification as such at that point. And I was devastated. I thought this was the end of the world. But not long after that, I got a better job at St. Mary's Hospital in Paddington. And that was the best move I ever made, not least because I met Richard there. But we just don't know what there is ahead of us. And this woman, with fear and trembling, told Jesus what had happened. And as a result, she had not just physical healing, which would make a difference, but she found so much more. Paul said to the Romans, "For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and you are saved." You see, Jesus was concerned not just with her physical well-being, but also with her spiritual health. He looked at the whole person, and he always looked at them with that added ingredient, with love. And this desperately needy woman found acceptance. No more an outcast. Jesus addressed her as daughter. She was part of a family again. She found assurance. "Go in peace," Jesus said. "You have been freed from your suffering." This was real. A whole life was transformed. She was free from all the constraints that had bound her over these 12 years. And she found understanding of what had happened. "Your faith has healed you," Jesus said. Her belief in his power had been justified. This was something she could hold on to, something she could build on for the future, for whatever life threw at her in the future. We know that it was God's power working through Jesus that healed that woman. And yet, he said, "Your faith has healed you." We hear those words elsewhere in the gospel too. Faith seems to be an important element in the healing process. And when Jesus turns his mind back to Jairus' daughter, news of her death reaches Jairus, and Jesus tells him, "Don't be afraid, just believe. Just believe, just have faith." This woman believed that Jesus could heal her. She believed that just the tiniest touch would do. She had real faith that this was the answer to her problems. And it's as if her faith was the channel through which Jesus' power could work. We're told by Paul that faith is all we need to be saved. And the word in Greek, which in our story is translated as healing, also means saving. And perhaps this gives us a hint as to what's going on in Jesus' actions. Because Jesus sees this woman, as he sees everybody, as needing salvation. Physical healing is in her case part and parcel of this. But Jesus is just as concerned with the spiritual side. He believes in whole person healing. Healing is something which is desperately needed today. And it's not always physical healing. Lives are broken, lives are damaged for all sorts of reasons. And problems with relationships and just with day-to-day survival can play havoc with people's mental and physical health. Mental and physical and emotional problems, they're all interconnected. And even where there's obvious illness, that may not be the root problem. When we sang that little song that David McNeish wrote, Jesus, heal our lives from all that seeks to harm, heal our minds, heal our world, we're acknowledging that healing is a really wide concept. We know that not everybody will receive physical or mental healing. Even in his lifetime, when Jesus healed so many people, there were many others who weren't healed. But that shouldn't stop us believing that physical healing can happen. What we need is a wider trust that Jesus will respond and that his love will come through in the best answer for that particular need in front of him. For this woman, the appearance of Jesus gave her new hope. For many, turning to prayer is a last resort. One of the verses we sing in that hymn, Abide With Me, is, when other helpers fail and comforts flee, help of the helpless, Lord, abide with me. Help of the helpless. In the desperation brought on by the realization that they can't help themselves and that nobody else around can help them, the helpless turn to Jesus. And even if people go to Jesus as the last resort, Jesus is there to listen with love and compassion. I've heard Christine Healing described as Jesus Christ meeting you at the point of your need. Jesus meeting you at the point of your need. You may well know someone who's in desperate need of healing, physical, mental, or spiritual. You may feel yourself that you're in that place. And I'm convinced that Jesus is the answer. As John said last week, when Jesus is around, things happen. When Jesus comes into our lives, things happen. Even if it's a very tentative reaching out, only the tiniest touch, his power can be released into our lives. His love can surround us. Jesus meets us at the point of our need. We're coming up to Christmas, you may have noticed. Christmas came to Messy Church yesterday. But what we as Christians hold on to through all the tinsel and the razzmatazz is that love came down at Christmas. Jesus was the embodiment of God's love. And we try to follow Jesus day by day. And the most loving thing we can do for all the desperately needy people in this world is to point them to Jesus, to bring them to Jesus, to lay them at the feet of Jesus in prayer. The most loving thing we can do is to show them Jesus through our love in everything we say, in everything we do. Because as our story today shows, Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the one who meets us at our point of need. And anyone who reaches out to Jesus in faith with their needs, however tentatively that might be, will find that Jesus meets them where they are. And ultimately, they'll find what that woman found: inner healing, acceptance, assurance, and peace. Let's just take a few moments of quiet just to think what healing we need in our lives. And a few moments also to bring anybody we know who needs healing to the feet of Jesus. And then we'll pray. Lord, we pray for your healing touch on our lives. You know our brokenness. You know our neediness. And we pray for your healing for those we have been thinking about in the quiet. May they know your love around them. And Lord, draw to you those who hold back from bringing you their needs, so that they may all come to know your love and your healing grace. Amen.